It was in dying that Christ destroyed our death, and it is in rising that Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory, and as in baptism Judy put on Christ, so in Christ may Judy now be clothed with glory. Here now, dear friends, we are God's children, and what we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know this. We know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for that is the promise he makes when he says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, for I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death, and because I live, you shall live also. We've gathered here on this afternoon when we all have other places we would rather be, but we've come to this place because this is a place we know, where we're surrounded by friends and loved ones in the midst of community with grace and with peace and with love. And we've come here today to celebrate the life of Judy. You can read the obituary, and it would tell you all the important things about Judy, things that most of us already know. But it wouldn't tell you who Judy is, because it wouldn't talk about the depth of her love and the volumes of her faith. It wouldn't tell us that all that she did because she loved. She loved you, her friends, the quilters, you, her family. But most of all, she loved her God. And so we come together in grief, and together we acknowledge our human loss, and our prayer is simple. We pray that God will grant us grace so that in pain we might find comfort, in sorrow, hope, and in death, resurrection.
Join me as we affirm our faith with these ancient words from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. With vengeance shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the 23rd Psalm, we have found solace for literally centuries, and we pray that it might provide that today as well. Won't you join me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, who laughs with us and weeps with us, God who walks with us each step of the way, carrying us when our strength fails, we gather to remember Judy Murrah as she leaves this life and moves to the life promised to all of us. We ask that you be the shoulder we can cry on, the arm that supports us. Oh God, please help us to see through the veil of tears that there is hope for life unending. Gracious God, as mysterious and wondrous as you are also a compassionate God, as attentive as newlyweds with one another, as tender as a mother with a newborn child, as protective as a father's warm embrace, and as watchful as those shepherds near Bethlehem so long ago. We come to your presence as we mourn for Judy and grieve that she is gone from here. We beg for your Holy Spirit to ease our pain, as we give thanks for all that she added to the lives of those around her, as we release our tears and our anger, as we say goodbye, remind us that we are not alone.
This is a verse that Grammy wanted to have read at her service, and I think that it suits her perfectly.
A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies.
Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar.
She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet.
She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate,
where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed in strength and dignity. She can laugh without fear of the future. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates.
Thank you, Tyler and Madison. So special. There are so many things that we could say about Judy from here, but it's always so much more special when you hear it from those who knew her best. And while Judy was always family first, she lived a very rich and very full life. And so we're going to now hear from that special part of her life, the Quilting Group, Kathy, Carrie, Reshnine.
Everything started with quilting. Judy took the first quilting class my mother ever offered, and from there we were off on our grand adventure of fabric and fun and friendship. Always, always lots of friendship. Judy's first official project for me was a simple autumn wreath that turned into a masterpiece with each leaf stuffed. That was typical of her. Take a good idea and make it better. Make it more beautiful. Make it more fun. Make it more efficient. From teaching quilting projects at Great Expectations to staying up all night to help us decorate festival, Judy was there. You would ask her to set up a plain bed at the opening of the show, right in front, just a plain bed with a quilt on it. And instead, you got an entire room set up, perfectly decorated down to the dust ruffles. I never knew how she did it. When I put her in charge of all of our festival and market classes, the department consisted of one person, Judy. And she didn't even live in Houston. Now the education team has grown to include three other people and almost two dozen more that come in to help just to work on the shows. And that definitely makes it better when they have to manage classes for 5,000 plus students. And that 5,000 was a special milestone for Judy. We were so grateful that she had a chance to live to see that. For years, we had been just below 5,000. And Judy was determined to break that number, and we broke it this year. She worked with hundreds of faculty members from all over the country, and two of them have flown in to be here with us to say goodbye to Judy. She would be very touched to know that. Fun and friendship, that's where her true genius lay. She could help tame 900 yards of pink tulle to transform an ugly parking garage into a gorgeous show called A Victorian Romance. And she could also plan and manage almost as many hands-on classes as some junior colleges offer. She really had a genius for it. We were always amused in Europe when we were running our shows when Judy couldn't learn the pre-Euro currencies. She would get confused when she was trying to pay for something, and she would finally just hand it to me and say, "Here, you pay it." And I'd pay it, and then we'd laugh. But when it counted, Judy convinced a very determined Danish hotel manager that he was indeed being paid fairly paid when he had already rejected the same verbatim arguments from Nancy and me. But Judy said it, and he accepted it. And then Judy had the brilliant idea of our turning the money back over in front of him, and he really accepted that. That was a classic Judy story, but the last two difficult years are another one. Judy tried so hard not to have to do the stem cell transplant process. And I am convinced that she finally went through it, not for herself, but for those who loved her, her beloved family, her quilt family, her innumerable friends, because she wanted to be there for us all. She was incredibly brave and utterly determined to get well. She had an unshakable faith in her God, and her courage and her love should stand as examples to us all. Judy was so very important to our company, but she was even more important to me as one of my dearest, most precious friends. Whatever I took on, Judy was right there with me. Her love and her belief in me are irreplaceable. I loved her dearly and fiercely, and I will miss her forever. And I'm not the only one. Since she died, we have had so many people write us about Judy and what she meant to them. There are far too many to acknowledge, but here are just a few. The memory of Judy that I will always cherish was when she took the stage at Festival 2016 during a luncheon. And as the sound system faltered entirely and we had no sound and the room was full, Judy got up on that stage, and a cappella, she led us in song. A couple of songs. One of them was "Jesus Loves Me." Another one was "Deep in the Heart of Texas." But the one that everybody remembers is "Flamin' Mamie." And she filled that time until they got that darned microphone fixed. And I thought then that here was a clever, bold, gorgeous woman who I wished I knew much better. And that is Kate Adams' memory. She's a Bible scholar and the author of Comfort and Glory. I will miss my dearest friend more than I can say. She was my mentor, my big sister, my boss. She was a woman full of grace, kindness, intelligence, and beauty. And she taught me so many things about life, work, family, and love. What will I do without her? And that's from Vicki Thomas, our education show state. Judy was, in many ways, the office mom, and we all leaned on her for advice and support and her caring nature. When I had my son, there were few people in my life who offered me the kind of love and support and parenting advice that Judy did, and I will be forever grateful to her for those moments. This is from Rihanna Griffin, the new media manager at Quilts Inc. Then there's one memory that we absolutely have to tell you about. We were in Lyon, France, and everything was going bad. They were beating down the doors because the fire marshal closed the show, and that we had a whole huge street full of people that were trying to get in. And so the doors were breaking as they kept knocking on them with their keys. At the same time, Judy on the third floor was trying to deal with a woman who had cut her neck with a Ulfa cutter and was bleeding like a stuck pig. And then as she comes down, because it was an all points out, we had to have help for these doors breaking down. Then as she's coming down to help us, she sees a man on the floor, obviously in pain, and his wife right beside him. And she says, okay, I had to stop. So she stops and she realizes that this man is having a heart episode. For those of you who don't know, Judy had open heart surgery some years back. And she stopped and she realized it, and she pulled out her pills that she carries, and she wanted to give them to him because she knew it would comfort him. Well, his wife was having nothing of that American, beautiful American woman trying to give her husband medicine until Judy bent over and yanked open her blouse and showed her zipper scar. And then the woman was quite happy for her husband to get the medicine. And the man was thrilled and grabbed it. And later they were on the show floor having fun. You see at the front of you Christmas quilts from our collection and one special one from Judy, who made this quilt. She truly loved everything about Christmas. She loved to decorate. She loved to entertain. She loved to bake cookies. She loved to make special things for people she loved. She just loved Christmas. In a way, it is particularly fitting that she left us at this time when people often feel closest to their God. We will miss so many things about Judy: her quiet support of anyone who came to her, her enormous talents, her administrative skills, her sense of fun, so many things. But we will go on to build on the solid foundation that she has left us, remembering always to be courteous, to be courageous, to be kind, and to show our love for others. We miss Judy desperately, but we know, we are absolutely positive that she is in heaven as we speak. She's up there on that cloud with my mother, and they are organizing all those people up there into beginning quilting classes. We know that. And last, because Judy loved to hear this every year at our Christmas event, I will read this to you. What Will Matter by Michael Josephson of the Josephson Institute for Ethics. Ready or not, someday it will all come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no minutes, no hours, no days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, fame, and temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, your resentments, frustrations, and jealousies will finally disappear. So too, your hopes, ambitions, plans, and your to-do lists will expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. At the end, it won't matter where you came from or what side of the tracks you lived on. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? Thank you. What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you are gone. What will matter are not your memories, but the memories of you that live in the hearts of those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom, and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance, but a matter of choice. Choose to live a life that matters. Judy did. She chose to live with courage, kindness, and love. She chose to live a life that mattered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carrie. And by the way, this was Judy's quilt. And thank you so much, and now Troy and Todd and Tom. If we could hear from the family.
Hello. I'm Troy, the youngest of my mom's three kids. And this is basically the epitome of winging it compared to my brother and my father. But I'm a lot like my mom, and will procrastinate, and I literally sat in her studio just trying to think of what to say. So I'll make this quick, because I'm not sure how far I'll get along before I can't talk. So anyway, let's just start, because I've been saying a lot lately in my head in the past month to my mom. I'm gonna count to three. And I'm sure most of you have had a great moment, a laugh. My mom has helped you out. So you either say, thank you, Judy. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Grammy. Thank you, Mrs. Murrah. Because I've been saying a lot, because she is great to be a part of her life. So on three, you say whatever you want, even if you have a funny nickname for her. One, two, three. Thank you, Mom. All right. So first, I'm going to thank her for the passion and the pride that she had and devotion to being a mom. And quickly, that just made me, like, All right, if you can be that great of a mom, I want to be that great of a father and dad. Next thing, this is fast because I can't do it. Next thing is thank you, Mom, for almost insisting and making me believe that even these days, making art, making music, making things with your hands, building stuff, doesn't just have to be a hobby. It can be a way of life and your passion and make money, whatever. You know, you're staying alive doing it. And without her, people probably would have been like, oh, no, you should find a normal job. But I stayed with it, and I'm damn happy, really happy. Thank you, Mom, for that. Last thing. Just a lesson to you and what she, thank you for teaching me this, Mom. It kind of sucks, but the last month, 2 months, I was away and couldn't even be here. So I'm going to tell you all, never take for granted the time that you're with a kind of a friend, your best friend, somebody that you love, someone that you kind of talk to, someone that you might be falling in love with. Definitely don't take for granted that time. You need to make good use of that time. And the ones that you love. Because I don't have many regrets in my life, but I definitely have a regret of not still being here in Texas at times, and I wasn't around my mom. And with that, thank you, Mom. I love you. And thank you all for being here. And it really means a lot to all of us, and I know that it means a lot to her, and obviously she's made a difference in all of our lives. Thank you.
I gotta call my relief pitcher up in case things go a little awry. Those of y'all that know me know I can't get through a 10-year-old award ceremony for a baseball team without crying, so I'm just going to look over there and try to read at the same time. I'm going to make it to the first sentence. Okay. One of my cousins wrote in a Facebook post on Tuesday from the beach in Hawaii that as he marveled at all the beauty of this paradise, he kept thinking how beautiful and peaceful it must be in heaven, and that Mom had gone there to be with her sister, Joni, brother, Tommy, and grandma. I love Hawaii as well and can understand what Jimmy D is referring to. It's perfect to imagine the beauty and the peacefulness of the ocean, the mountains, as the heavenly place. I also love the streams and the rivers that run through the mountains, the waterfalls, and eventually to the ocean. It's awe-inspiring to me to understand the path that water takes. And while it may change direction and forms, it touches many different parts of this place, and those rivers will continue to run and run and run into eternity. William James said, "The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it." I spent a great deal of time the last few days reading all the wonderful things written in tribute and remembrance of Mom. In the quilting world, she leaves a legacy of so many people that she touched through her love, her guidance, and her education. She leaves a group of collaborators and friends all over the world to carry on her legacy with hints and pieces and scraps. And if you knew my mom, which obviously you did if you're here, you knew that scraps are a good thing. Those scraps of herself and those she taught and mentored in person, in blogs, and in books. Her river will continue to run. In my sister, Holly, you can see another legacy of my mother, the joy of being a mother. I watch my sister in the way she juggles 3 kids and all the activities. She's behind each of them with support and love. It's not a struggle because she loves it, and she loves her children to the moon and back. This is my mom's legacy. The complete devotion to her kids, to their happiness, and the joy she received from their accomplishments and smiles. Through Holly, her river will continue to run. For me, she leaves a lot of gray hair. Oh, no, sorry. Or silver hair, or I'm sure that her hair was that color because of me. Especially as a couple of guys here can tell you during the years 86 to 91-ish. Anyway, she leaves me with the legacy of laughter and love. Other than my wife, my mom was always my best audience, meaning she laughed at my bad jokes and my sarcasm, or enabled it. Most importantly, she gave me her passion and compassion, her ability to feel and communicate those feelings without reservation. Which is why I can't get through this. I see that my kids carry on the same legacy, and that passion and that river will continue to run. My mom was such an amazing, creative, and talented person. The ability to see shapes, colors, lines in ways that most people cannot. Her love of creating and communicating those colors through those colors and shapes and lines is both beautiful and awe-inspiring. The river runs so obviously through my brother and my daughter. Now I've lost my place. There is no doubt this creativity flows from her through them. To watch my mom dance at one of Troy's shows, or to see her create... create with Madison in her studio is to see an amazing connection and a beautiful bond. As the first grandchild, Madison shared a special bond with her Grammy.
Okay. We got it.
I see her beauty in Madison. Her ability to take imagination to an art form, and her strength as a woman in Madison. When you have the ability to communicate your own special language or in an accent the entire day, you know the connection is special. Thankfully, Grammy and Madison were able to share a special sing-along together. There he is. It's a good break, too. Thanks. Thankfully, Grammy and Madison were able to share a special sing-along together a couple weeks ago as Grammy was fighting her fight. Through Madison and through Troy, there's no doubt her creative river will run on. Truly, Mom leaves behind a legacy that will long outlast her. Her river of caring, passion, creativity, and love will long run through others that she impacted in so many ways. What a tribute to a wonderful friend, wife, mentor, mom, and Grammy. And finally, as if on cue to the story of the river, my son Tyler texted Grammy last week. Thankfully, Troy happened to be standing right there when the text came across and saw it come across and was able to read it to her. And it does a nice job of completing the circle of where Jimmy D started. The text read, one of my most peaceful memories laying down on the... I can't do that one. All right, buddy, I'm going to get it.
Can we do it?
Yep.
One of my most peaceful memories laying down in the grassy hill in the backyard of Victoria House.
Next to you and Granddaddy looking at up in the cloudless sky. We were just laying there talking and admiring the blueness of the sky. Since then, whenever I see a cloudless sky... I've always thought and will always think of you and Granddaddy. I love you, Grammy. I love you, Mom.
I'm at a spot in life and have been for a number of years where every morning I think of and write down what I'm grateful for. And so many times, the gratefulness for Judy and our life together, you know, comes out of my pen and my heart. We go back a long ways, of course, much longer than our sons and daughter. If you can just imagine for a moment, 1956, we were growing up on the same street in San Antonio, six blocks apart. We didn't know each other till junior high, and then I got lucky, and I've been grateful for this many times, sitting in one of those classes where you had a good view of the outside, which was a whole lot more fun than what we were supposed to be doing. The girls were out there in their PE training outfits, you know, usually a white top and a black pair of shorts. But there was one girl who had on bright red. And I asked this buddy of mine, I said, George Beale was the guy's name. I said, do you know who is that? He said, oh, that's Judy Olofsson. She went to Woodlawn, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't realize it, but I was going to keep saying her name should be remarkable for years and years. We worked up the courage finally to ride our bicycles through the Olofsson house. She was smart. She didn't let us in the door. But we did. She did say, park your bicycles out there where the little hill was on the sidewalk. So we threw the bikes down to the side, and she sat by us. There were three of us. We got our courage up. And, you know, I can't remember what we talked about, but we spent, you know, an hour or more. We tried to convince her to play football with us and all that good stuff, but she accepted us. She tolerated us, even though we all knew she had boyfriends who were bigger, stronger, faster. But she was neat, and we kept that same feeling, I don't know, forever and ever. First kiss was Christmas in 1958. I can still remember one of the girls in our, you know, that we all knew in school was having a little party. And I think we both worked up the courage to experiment with one kiss. It worked. So I was grateful, at least for a little while there. When we got to high school, and you finally got to where you could drive and have dates and double date or whatever, all that kind of stuff with automobiles, we began to cherish the times. We would talk about it even back then, of making the drive and being seated side by side. The side by side phrase lasted for the two of us for a lifetime. She liked it if she was the passenger, because she could rest, think about the projects. There could have been a jillion other Quilts Inc. projects that she would think about, pray about, rest about, and she felt good that I was driving. Can't get any better than that. She wanted to make those trips, make those visits, see those people side by side. In college, she, as you could tell from the obituary, she went to San Marcos in Southwest Texas, got out ahead of schedule, because the schedule that she had in her mind, and she shared it with us verbally, her plan was for us to marry as soon as she finished school. The sadness was a similar requirement existed at my house, where the parents said finish school first and then get married. Obviously, we had to settle with that one. She finished school early, began to teach elementary school. We married in 66. That was full of blessings. Can't count them. It went on in a variety of things that struck my mind to again to be grateful for was time in the military service. We were soldiers in Illinois. Nobody was shooting at us, but we got lucky. That's where our first son was born, Illinois. Todd came along a couple years later. We were back in, I guess it was several years later, we were back in, really back in Houston, where Holly was born and became known as Baby Girl. We cherished that. 3 years later in 75 came Troy, lovingly known as Troy Boy. It's an extent of my rhymes. The good thing was, I guess when Troy came along, we had to move to a slightly larger house. And bless our hearts, we stayed there probably for 6 years. But that was one of those houses where, had we still lived in it, we would have really suffered from Harvey. We thought about that when we realized that a lot of that took place in our old neighborhood. But by the time 1983 rolled around, we moved to Victoria. My job had gone away in Houston, found another job in Victoria, and as we has been touched on before, she was going strong at that time with Quilts Inc. I think her first helping venture was probably in 76 or 77, and it, as Carrie explained, it began to grow over time. And the amazing thing, I appreciate for that entire time in Victoria, she would either commute to Quilts Inc. for things she needed to care for, and those were also the days of, you know, there was not email, and there weren't text messages. There were contracts to draw up, there were objectives to meet, there were people to know, and bless her heart and soul, she had her little office right off the front door, that close to the kitchen, and she was multi-talented, just as been described earlier. She took care of a ton, and that experience in Victoria was close to 25 years. And all our kids went to high school there, took off from there, and it's major. And Judy was like a rock. Like a rock on which to build. And Carrie has used the same or similar kind of thing. She could take something, support it, help it, and get it done. For years, the things that were most important to her, without a doubt, start with family. They start with faith. We made the move back to Victoria thinking we were going to shop around for churches. Because way before, for long ago, we had gone to church at Memorial Drive. We came to visit here. And one couple in particular who are here today, Kent and Cher Binks, were just instrumental in us becoming members here at this church. And we have loved the hard work, we've loved the great study, we've loved the great faith it builds upon. And we go, I guess there's two examples in the what I would call the current recent time. Sunday school class had a party. We're easily 2 years past our struggle with the diseases she was fighting. She got dressed up, had some little hat on her head, and just had a ball. It was all based on talking. One of the World Series games was going on. We'd tell them what the score was, and she was like the crown princess that night. She was fantastic. We go way back, but we were also here when her fight and struggle and desire to live was challenged, and we have been her backers and her friends and her supporters and her family all this time. It was intense sometimes, Sometimes it was long, and there's a lot of people who probably know that. It wasn't just like a 30-minute deal. It was time to invest in hoping that it would all work. And much of it did. She suffered a few setbacks. She fought back. And these things began to happen, a week or so ago. The miracle to me was that, like Troy touched on, all of us in the, all of us kids, our kids and grandkids, could be there when things got really towards the end. She didn't say much, but we were there. She has always, prepared for it somehow. As she struggled and we were there, the depth of her faith and the depth of her belief became crystal clear, especially the time as we were there in the relatively small room. She hadn't been talking, but bless her heart, she kind of opened her eyes, kind of stretched, looked around. Then she said, "Is Mom here?" She's talking about her mother, I believe. She wanted to know, if she was in the group. And deep down in my heart, I think that reunion is taking place and it's being thrilled with. In summary, I think back just for signs of her struggle and how she conquered bits and pieces. The love she shared for family, she shared it with her desire to design and quilt and sew. So when she would struggle towards the end, her goal was always to get up those stairs in the house to the second floor where her home came alive. She loved our home. She loved this one that we're lucky to live in now, because when we walked in looking for a house way back when, she could see outdoors. She loved what she could do. She loved what she could see. She loved the whole part of home. Home where she could choose what to do. She worked so hard. She felt good about herself. When she conquered the stairs, it was like she had returned to cloud nine. But it just didn't continue long enough. Setbacks were severe. But the way I feel is this, and I didn't think up the words, but I offer them as what I think is a summary. These aren't my words, but I believe in them, every word. True happiness is the byproduct of a life well lived. She did that to the fullest. And I'm thankful for it. I know others are thankful for it. In closing, her life was built on that rock. She took the foundation and did much with it. There's probably songs like that. But I also think that JKO, which always stood for Judy Knockout, that was the message she had on a blouse. JKO played it to the hilt. She lived a life well lived. If there is somebody playing the hokey pokey with that verse where you put your whole self in, she didn't hold back. She put everything she had into our lives and made them much better, day by day, side by side. Thank you.
So If you are a member of the Covenant class, would you stand, please? This is Judy's Sunday school class. Don't sit, just stay. If you are a member of the church and you're here and that's where you know Judy, would you stand, please? If you know her through your quilting and those things, would you stand, if you're able, please? If you just love her and you just want to come spend the day with us, stand, please. I just want the family to see the wide range of people Judy has touched. Not just quilters, not just Sunday school, not just church members, but a range. You may be seated. I have to start with a confession to my quilters. Where are my quilters? Raise your hand. I know nothing about quilting. I went to a quilting show because Judy kept bugging my wife that we had to go. She gives tickets. We finally went. I decided, though, if I'm going to speak at Judy's funeral, I better learn a little about quilting. So I did what we all do in times like that. We Google it. And so I did. So if I make a mistake, Carrie, please forgive me. Blame it on Wikipedia. Here is what quilting does. My understanding via Google and Wikipedia. The quilter takes small scraps of cloth, which might otherwise find no purpose, and sews them together into patterns of varying degrees of complexity. The completed pattern is then sewn onto cotton batting, stretched across a quilt frame, where the stitches themselves become a work of art in a second pattern. The finished piece then becomes a cover for a bed, a throw for a sofa, or a work of art. Am I correct? Thank God for Google. Judy was a quilter of cloth. But more than that, she was a quilter of our lives. Because what she did, in ways I've never seen anyone else do it, she took pieces of herself and she embroidered them into the lives of every one of us here. That's why we're so different. That's why I wanted you to stand. Because we are all different pieces of her life that she managed to stitch together into this beautiful community. And when she did it, she didn't have to think about it. It just became, well, it was just second nature. She was just a quilter quilting. She was just Judy being Judy. And because of that, we're all better than we were before we met her, before we had the honor to know her, before we had the privilege to be loved. See, she took pieces, and you heard some of them from Tom and from Carrie and from Troy and from Todd, of the pieces that she took. But I think one of the large pieces she took was the way she just loved. It wasn't a flashy love. It wasn't a love that brought attention to herself. It was a love that was just absolutely unconditional. She loved. Somewhere she heard, and maybe this church, or maybe the church in Victoria, or maybe in Memorial Drive, she heard that she's just supposed to love others as she loves herself. And rather than just hear the words, she decides she would just live them. Somewhere she heard that you're supposed to take care of those in need. And rather than just hear those words, she just said, I'm just going to live them. And that's part of her that we carry with us. Probably the greatest piece she embroidered in my life was the depth of her faith. Because if you want to know what a follower of Jesus looks like, just look at Judy. The way she lived, the way she talked,
the way she carried herself with dignity, the way she fought the good fight, the way in the midst of stem cell transplants and chemotherapy, she was able to stand and praise her God. And it'll be those moments, those words, that I will never forget. You've heard all about Judy. We didn't have to talk much about her because we all know her. See, the problem then is there's us, right? And Tom, you know, we never know what exactly to say at funerals. We want to say the right things, but they never seem to turn out just the way we hoped when we thought them. And so we usually fumble with words. And Todd and Troy and Holly, I wish I could tell you that this pain, this emptiness you're feeling now is going to go away, but I'm not going to lie to you. There may be days where it's a little less than it was, but then you're going to see a quilt or hear a song or smell the smell that reminds you of your mom, and they're all just going to come back, and the hurt and the loneliness and the emptiness is just going to surface. See, that's why I'm thankful we have this God who knows exactly how we feel. Because that's why we're here today. We're here because we're here to worship God, not just to celebrate Judy, but to worship the God that she worshiped, to worship the God that she loved. We're here not to try to explain leukemia or lymphoma or cancer. Instead, we're here to make affirmations about this God who loves us and this God who promises that when we walk through these valleys of the shadow of death, he will walk with us. So that's what I want to tell you, Tom. And I wish I had the words that would say it, that would help. See, that's what Jesus was so good at. Jesus knew exactly what to say at funerals, right? I mean, there's a story in Luke's gospel where Jesus is walking with his disciples and he runs into this woman who is on her way to bury her oldest son, her only son. And he doesn't fumble with words. He simply looks at the boy and he says, "Arise." And he does. And then there's a story about Jesus, and he goes to the funeral where this little girl is, everyone thinks she's dead, and Jesus looks at the crowd and says, "Why are you crying? She's not dead, she's merely sleeping." Everyone laughs, and he takes her hand, and she awakes, and she's alive. And even on the night before he was betrayed in John's gospel, Jesus talks to his followers, and this is what he says. This may not be a funeral, but this is the night before a funeral. And he says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And soon the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And again I say, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." See, Tom, the words that I want to say, they're just hollow. But the words that Jesus says when he says, "I am the resurrection," the words that Jesus said when he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," the words that Jesus said when he says, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again," that is the hope we hold on to. That is why we've come to this place. That is the God we know, and that is the God that Judy loves. I tell this story at every funeral, story of Jesus, and he's walking with his disciples, and he says, in the middle of this, he just stops, and he says, "You guys are going to know trouble." And I love that. Because when Jesus says, "You guys are going to know trouble," he's talking about trouble. He He's talking about trouble when the doctor said there's just nothing more we can do. He's talking about trouble when the family gathers for that last time to be with their loved one as they breathe their last. He's talking about trouble that keeps you up at night, that keeps you from eating, that keeps you from sleeping. He's talking about trouble, Madison, that the trouble that you have to remind yourself to get out of bed and breathe the next day. He's talking about that trouble, the trouble we know. And what I love about that story is right after he says that, he says this, but you shall overcome. See, because what Jesus knew is that death, leukemia, cancer never has a last word, but that God always has a last word. And it's always a word of victory, which is why Paul was able to write with such confidence that I am convinced that nothing, not life, not death, not things present, not things to come, not leukemia, lymphoma, cancer, depression, broken hips, nothing will separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That is what I know. So we come to this place, and amidst the tears and the hurt and the pain, we know of this God who promises that at the end of the day, God wins. And we know that Judy is with that God because he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. But did you know, Carrie, that God is a quilter? There's a poem I found. Does anyone know this poem? Did I beat all the quilters? Yes. We don't know who wrote it. I should have lied and said I did. This is what you can hear. I think God is a quilter who, with needle and thread, pieces our world from nothingness and gives it form instead. I think we see God's perfect stitches, textured everywhere in velvet moss and grainy sand and silky strands of hair. I think God cuts the pattern from stuff we throw away and shows us how to use each scrap in God's own redeeming way. I think quilts paint the lessons God uses just to teach that our pieces and our remnants have kaleidoscopic reach. So in the life that we're living, odd pieces everywhere, let's give them to the quilter to work into a masterpiece with extra loving care. We gather today, and we know that where Judy is more beautiful than anything we can imagine. Because after all, God is a quilter. And if God is a quilter, everything he makes has to be just as beautiful as these quilts before us. And so it's okay to cry. And it's okay to be sad. But what I believe is that the very heavens rejoice because a daughter of God, a child of a king, has come home. And Tom, I think you're exactly right. I think there's a reunion going on. And when we breathe our last here, and we too join that great reunion, well, there will be Judy to be with us, to celebrate with us, to show us around, and to love us. And what I believe is that heaven, I think heaven's a little bit better place to be today because Judy was there. After all, you and I are better people because Judy was part of our life. That's what I believe. That's what I hold on to. And that's what my faith is built on. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One of the traditions we have here is we hold hands as we receive the benediction. So I invite you to hold hands. Following the benediction, Eddie is going to lead the family out this door into the fellowship hall where there's a reception planned, put together by the covenant class and some of the ladies in the church, and a chance for you to meet, greet, hug on the family. They're going to be there for a little while, so I hope that you'll I hope that you'll make your way over to the fellowship hall. If you need directions, someone will lead you. It's a maze, but we can usually find it. So with that, would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go from this place, and may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. Amen.